Amen. You may be seated. Before we get into our message this morning, there is an update that we're going to hear from Dan and Rachel Lewis as they prepare to go to Ethiopia. And on the 4th of July, that will mark 1 month until they head out. So that's exciting. So let's listen to that, and don't be forgetting to pray for them.
Hello, FBC. Dan and Rachel here, Wycliffe missionaries, on our way to Ethiopia to teach at an international school in the capital, Bingham Academy.
We are sending a video your way to thank you so much for your financial and your prayer support throughout these last couple months in our Wycliffe ministry. It has been a booming, quick, fast-paced few months, and we wanted to send an update to let you know how our ministry is doing.
Just recently, we got approval from Wycliffe to buy our plane tickets to get over to Ethiopia, which is awesome because it means we are at 100% of our ministry budget. So praise God. He has done great things in our partnership development. But our partnership development is not over. We have moved from Ohio and are now with my parents just outside Boston, Massachusetts, where we are connecting with family, friends, and other churches. Just in great ministry.
Continuing to build our partnership team.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We also have quite a bit scheduled for the summer. We have some training, teacher training in Orlando, Florida with Wycliffe. And we are also spending a great deal of time preparing for our course loads in the fall at Bingham Academy.
We are so eager to land in Ethiopia and hit the ground running. We hope to pour into the discipleship program with the students that are there at the school community, and I hope to help start serving the community of families who have students with special needs.
Yeah. And in all this, whether it's speaking to churches, preparing for our classes, or just meeting people for dinner, we want to give God the glory because He has done amazing things. And one of the verses that has really helped us continue to point back to God is 1 Peter 4:11.
It reads, "If anyone speaks, he should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen."
So join us in giving God the glory for the progress He has allowed us to make in our ministry. And once again, a huge thank you for your support and being a part of this. We look forward to sharing what God is doing in our ministry here in Massachusetts and then very soon in Ethiopia. Okay, see ya.
Bye.
All right. That is exciting, is it not, to have that update? And what was really exciting about that is that's the verse I'm preaching on this morning. So I thought we had to share that at least this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you have a Bible, take that and turn there. You can follow along on YouVersion, of course. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 10 and 11 here. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been entrusted with something very valuable? I have something here I wanted to show you. It's super cool, at least it is to me. It's a cane, all right? It doesn't look like much, really. But this cane is my great-great-grandfather's cane. Pretty cool. It was given to him by some students. Apparently, he taught something. And so it was given to him in 1857. So it's a 160-year-old cane. How sweet is that, right? And I was just at my parents' house this past couple weeks when we were on vacation, and they're downsizing and they're starting to pass on some of these family heirlooms that have been kind of passed on to the different generations in my family. And this was Edmund Addison Beeman's cane. And so now it's been entrusted to me to take care of, right? So you can question my parents' judgment on that if you'd like. But regardless, this is mine to take care of, and you can bet that I'm not going to be putting that in the kids' dress-up box, you know, down in the basement, and I'm not going to be leaving that outside for any reason. I'm not even really going to use it. I'm just going to display it, right? Because it's special. It's something important. It doesn't have a lot of monetary value, I don't think, but it's special, and it's something that's been entrusted to me, and so I had the responsibility of keeping it. It's an heirloom, right? Well, just like that, all of us as believers have been given gifts. In fact, we have the responsibility to use these gifts that God has given to us to glorify God. And that's what our passage talks about this morning here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read it for you. Peter writes as he's concluding a smaller section in his larger letter here. He writes, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot to unpack in these verses, and we're going to do our best this morning to pull some truth out of here. But let me encourage you to continue studying it this week, to open it back up, maybe get online, find a commentary or something like that. But continue to study this, because this is a rich passage that I have really enjoyed studying. And I would love to be able to read for you just all the things that I've learned. But we don't have that much time this morning. So we're going to try and consider this as quickly as we can. Think of this. As we consider our responsibility to use the gifts God has given us, we first have to understand that the statement that Peter writes first here, that every believer is included here. There's no believer that's excluded from getting a gift. God's gifts are given to every believer. It says right at the beginning, Peter writes, as each one of you has received a gift. Each one. He's writing to believers. He's writing to the church, to Christians, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And so he's writing to really us. Really, anyone that would hear this, if they're a believer, were to learn that we have a spiritual gift. God has given you a gift for a purpose, which we'll get into. And that obviously begs the question, okay, what are we talking about? What gifts? What are spiritual gifts? How do we understand what they are and what they're for? Well, first of all, understand this gift here, the word, the Greek word that's used for this gift, is the same word we would get our word charisma from. It's the same word that's translated grace very often. But the idea behind it is really it's a gift that's undeserved. Understand that we did not do anything to earn any spiritual gift that God has given us. And maybe that's a concept that's familiar with you, but it's important to remind ourselves of is that whatever gift God has given me to use for this church, it's not because of who I am. It's because God is a gracious God, and he has given me a gift to use. And so for believers, God has given each of us. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about each of us have been given this gift. In Romans 12, it talks about different gifts, and you have those passages there you can look at. So what are these gifts? What are they? Well, first of all, what they're not are, this is what Peter's not talking about, is the material blessings that God has gifted us with. This is not talking about homes or how you are financially or anything, any tools that you may have. That's not what Peter's talking about here. Those are certainly useful things and things that we should employ in serving. But that's not what Peter's mentioning. He's also not talking about natural talent. There's a parable that talks about the master who gave talents to the different servants, and they were to use those talents. That was actually a monetary description there. It's like dollars, you know, talent. But what Peter's not talking about here is our natural giftedness. That's God's grace to everyone in the world. He's gifted every person with natural abilities. That's called common grace. What Peter's talking about is actually spiritual gifts given only to believers at the time of their salvation. And there's a lot of questions possibly popping up. We're going to try and answer a lot of those. So kind of hang with me. But let's take this note here to understand that even though he's not talking about material things or even our natural talents, it does not mean that these things are not to be used when serving. So don't draw that conclusion. We must not to confuse them with what the Bible teaches, though, as spiritual gifts. So we need to understand what spiritual gifts are. In our passage, Peter doesn't list them. He's kind of assuming that the readers already kind of understand what those might be. And so there's other passages you can study. You can take a look at Romans chapter 12. This is just one example of a passage that lists some spiritual gifts. If you look here in verse 4, Romans 12, verse 4 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Look at verse 6. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." And then he starts to list a few of them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. In teaching, or one who exhorts. I'm kind of skipping a few things here, but I'm just getting to the list here. There's teaching, exhortation, one who contributes in generosity, one who leads with zeal, one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so this is a list, and it's not even a complete list, but it's a list of some of the spiritual gifts. There's many different ways to categorize what the Bible teaches us as spiritual gifts. I've come up with four different categories. This is not inspired. There's many different scholars that would see differently on this, and they're probably right. But this is how I've kind of organized them. First, we see gifts of leadership. This would be, whoa, that's a wasp. Heads up, everybody. gifts of leadership, teaching, exhortation, leadership, shepherding, that kind of a thing. You also see gifts in the category of service, those who have been gifted to serve, gifted to contribute. There he is again. I once preached a message with a bat flying around, so this is nothing. Gifts of service, right? The writer of Romans here, Paul, talks about one who contributes in generosity. So God has gifted some people with a generous heart. Gifts of mercy. We see other gifts. We would call these the sign gifts, gifts of healing and miracles and speaking in tongues and interpreting those who speak in tongues. We believe those gifts have ended. They're no longer necessary for the church because we have now Scripture completed. Back then, they didn't have the New Testament. And so there was a need to validate the apostles' message. And so those gifts were given to some. And then there's gifts described in Ephesians 4 as gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. So there are many different types of gifts, and these gifts are spiritual in nature. They're not just a natural talent. So a simple definition really would be this. A spiritual gift is a capacity for Christian service that God has equipped us with that will help build up the church. Okay? A capacity for service in the Christian context, okay, in the local church, that God has equipped us with in order to build us up. When I was in fifth grade, I joined the elementary school band. And at the beginning of the year, you know, everybody is kind of thrown into a room and a bunch of fifth graders. And I had no musical training at that point. I had dragged my dad's old saxophone, which I just got this past couple weeks, and it still works. I can show you a video of my brother playing it, but I brought in my saxophone, and that was me. I was going to play the saxophone, but there were some that were there. They were joining the band. They didn't know even what they were going to play. And so gifts were given out. You're going to play the tuba or whatever. And all the people that had the really big instruments were sad. And it was just kind of a comical thing as I look back on it. It was just kind of pass out instruments. We got to make a band here. God's gifting of us is a little bit more serious than that. But in a lot of ways, God has, there's a variety of things. We're going to get into that. But every believer, everyone's got one. And that's what's important to understand, first of all, is that every Christian has a gift and must use it. So let me ask real quickly, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If you have you considered that God has given you at least one spiritual gift? All right. So if we all have a gift, that leaves us with more questions, right? Like, why did God give these gifts to us? And how do I identify them? We're going to get to the identification of them later. But let's answer the question, why? God's gifts are to be used for others. God's gifts are to be used for others. Peter writes in the second half of this, or the second portion of our passage, he says that we have each received a gift and we're to use it to serve one another. The first word for gift there is a Greek word that we get charisma from. And there's actually another word for gift that Peter uses. And it's that phrase, use it, is actually one word. And it's the word that we get the word deacon from. It's the idea of service. A gift, undeserved, that is wholly purposed for serving other people. That's the kind of gift that you have. Every spiritual gift that God gives is for the purpose of serving others. Gifts God gives are more to be used for others. Most of the time we think about receiving gifts. When we think about receiving gifts, we think about using them, right? Like I just said, I was in my parents' basement. And my dad gave out, my brother and I, we kind of raided his basement and got a bunch of tools. And I ended up with a router table, okay? I'm not a carpenter. I fixed a jump rope yesterday. That was a big deal, okay? And that's about my skill level, right? Some of you may have noticed that in some of the work projects. But I have a router table now. So what am I doing? I'm thinking about how can I use this table? And Chris Plack is smiling at me right now, and he probably wants to use it too. And that'd be fine. But when we receive gifts, we often think, how am I going to use this? How am I going to enjoy this? This is for me, right? And many times that's the case. But when God gives gifts, it's the other way around. How am I going to use this to serve others is the way we should be thinking. God has given us a gift not to be consumed on our own pleasure, not to get glory for ourselves, not to lift ourselves up, but really to serve, to actually humble us and serve others. God has gifted us for that reason. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so he is our example. We come today here not to be served, but to serve and to give up our comforts or to sacrifice something of ours for others. So let me ask you, the spiritual gifts that you've given, are you using them to serve others? Are you thinking of them in that way? Or have you fallen into the trap of thinking that this is for somehow for you to get some recognition? Let's be thinking about that. Understand this. The fact that we've been given gifts to serve others, that's kind of a big deal. That's a serious thing. And yet Peter takes and he kind of raises the bar even more in this next phrase. We see him write as good stewards of God's varied grace. He kind of raises the bar here a little bit, adds another layer of sobriety, and makes this point that God's gifts require responsibility. So they're to be used to serve others, but they require a thought of responsibility. We need to treat them as a steward would. What is a steward? Well, a steward, and during this context, would have been a household manager, often a slave, given responsibility to manage either the entire household of the master or just a portion of it. There were slaves in charge of the education of children, and there were slaves in charge of handling the finances and things like that. And so we see that Peter is using that term and that concept to describe us. We're stewards of something that God has given to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 describe this. Paul writes, let me just get here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Then it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy or faithful. We're a steward. We have been given the responsibility to be caretakers of what God has given to us. This is a big deal. Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12 or follow along on YouVersion. Luke chapter 12, Jesus is giving a parable to the disciples and others that were listening. And in verse 37, he says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then, this is neat, the writer of our passage today asked the Lord a question. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager? That's the same word as steward. Who is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. What he's talking about here is that Jesus is about to leave in the future. He was going to be leaving these disciples to carry out a big task. They had a lot of responsibility coming. And he's saying, blessed are those servants who, when the master returns, the master finds those servants using the gifts that he's given them. And so we understand that these gifts, these spiritual gifts that we've been given at the point of our salvation, this is no light thing, and this is not an optional thing. We're to use them. We're to take responsibility for what God has given us, and we're to use them. A great example in Scripture is Joseph. Are you familiar with the story of Joseph? He was sold into slavery as a teenager, purchased by an Egyptian man named Potiphar, a wealthy man. He's purchasing slaves, so he certainly had some means. But we understand that Joseph, as he started to serve his master, gained favor in the eyes of his master. And the Lord allowed Joseph to become the steward of Potiphar's household. He was the household manager. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 that Potiphar didn't even really concern himself with anything other than what was for dinner. That's what he says. So Potiphar was Joseph was so trustworthy, so responsible of what his master had given to him, that his master did not need to worry about whether it was being done or not. He just had to worry what time is dinner. That is a great example of what a good steward would be. And we're to be the same. We're to take that which God has given to us, whatever that is, and use it in a responsible way here in this church, for the building up of the church, to serve others. So are you being a responsible steward of the gift that God has given you? And yes, I know I haven't answered the question, how do I find out what the gifts are? We're going to get there. But are you using them? Do you understand the weight of responsibility that comes with a gift from God? God gave us gifts not just to be nice to our neighbors now and then. We're to cultivate it. We're to use it and to develop that gift and use that in a way that it grows and it becomes more effective. You may be thinking, yes, I know God gives gifts. Yes, I feel the weight of responsibility to use mine, but I don't know what it is. That's fair. Peter reminds us that there is a great variety of gifts. This next little phrase here. We're to use these gifts that everyone has to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Varied grace. This word varied here, first of all, understand God's gifts are diverse. There's the point there. God's gifts are diverse. This word varied, the meaning literally has the idea of multicolored. Okay, just a plethora of different types of gifts. Now, we have lists in Scripture of categories that we talked about a little bit more. But as people are different, God uses these gifts in many different ways, and they are effective in many different ways. And that's what Peter's talking about here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul teaches about why. And I really can't wait to talk to Paul someday. I think he's a funny guy. Okay? I think he had a sense of humor because he uses an illustration here that's kind of it's like junior church illustration. You know, it's kind of silly, you know. But and look at verse 14 of chapter 12. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about we've all received these things. And then he says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, and just add note here, people here were complaining about not having certain special gifts. Okay. So Paul's teaching, and he says that the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Emphasis, or the sarcasm, I've added. But I have a feeling this is Paul. So the foot's complaining about not being a hand. And that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Isn't that a silly illustration? Can you picture just a bunch of ears walking around? Nobody's ears look good, okay? Every ear is weird looking, right? Okay, we know this. And how strange would it be if God only gave one gift, right? The gift of the ear, you know, to the church. And it would just be odd and not very helpful. And so God has given us, the church, many different types of gifts to be used in different ways and to establish a helpful and productive ministry here. Have you ever considered the punter on a football team? Now, the football team has many different roles, right? You have professional teams, and when they get to professional football, you know, guys typically have one role, and that's what they do. And the quarterback, you know, that's like the glamour role, right? Super important. And, you know, look, I'll do you a favor. I'm not talking about Michigan now, okay? Obviously, I'm talking about Tom Brady. So you got the quarterback. Even the linemen tend to get a little bit of credit nowadays where, you know, these guys are protecting the quarterback. And, of course, the skill players, they have one-handed catches and they get a lot of highlight reels and running backs that run through the crowd and stuff. But what about the punter? I mean, this is an odd guy, right? In comparison to all the other players on the team, he looks like he weighs 120 pounds, right? Just a skinny guy usually. And often he's wearing two different shoes. I don't know if you noticed that. His face guard is like maybe a bar, perhaps. I mean, because he technically has to have it. And it's just kind of this odd-looking guy. But it's important, right? It's an important piece to the team and important for success. And you know what? Sometimes we may feel like we're the punter, right, in our local church. My gifts, they're kind of odd. I don't understand why God gave me this, but this is all I've got. That's okay. We need to understand that because God has given us these gifts, that right in and of itself carries dignity with it. There's nothing to be ashamed of having a gift from God, regardless of what it is. And there's nothing to be proud about either, to having certain gifts that maybe are more visible, because it's God who's given to us. I didn't earn anything, right? And so there's gifts that are given in a very multicolored way. And we're not to compare. We're not to do that. We're to encourage ourselves that we've received a gift. But finally, how do I know what it is? And this is a question I think many people ask. Did you know, and it's kind of interesting, there's no command in Scripture to find out what your gift is. Kind of interesting. No command in Scripture, find out your gift. It doesn't say that. Peter just assumes they already know what it is. There is a command to use it. And so, obviously, we must know what it is. So how do we find that out? Scripture implies that since God is the one who's given the gifts, then he is the one who will sovereignly show us what these gifts are. So what do we do? First of all, don't assume you can't be involved if you're unsure what your spiritual gift is. Get involved. How do I find out how I'm gifted to serve this church? Start serving. If you're not serving in the church and you're frustrated about not knowing what your spiritual gift is, start serving. And you'll start to find out. Be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. As you read Scripture, as you serve, it will become clear, you know what, I'm good at this. I have a passion for this. And focus and study those lists of spiritual gifts so that you can identify when you start to notice, you know what, I have a passion for generosity, or I have a passion for leadership, or something like that. God will show you these gifts. There's no quiz or you know, these Facebook quizzes, you know, what Disney character are you and stuff like that. There's nothing like that that will help more than just getting involved in your local church. And let me encourage you to do so. We've learned that many gifts, many different kinds of gifts, are given to every believer. We have to understand that we must use them not for our own glory, but to serve others. We understand that it is a serious thing. We have to take this with a measure of responsibility and say, I need to own this. I have a gift. I don't even know what it is, but I know I've got one because God said he gave it to me. And so I need to find out what it is and I need to start using it. But what is the ultimate purpose? Why ultimately has God given these gifts? Peter writes in verse 11, and this is where Dan and Rachel's encouragement to us comes into play. God's gifts have one ultimate purpose. Peter writes, whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Speaking and serving, you could categorize all the spiritual gifts into those two categories too. And so Peter understands, okay, regardless of what gift you have, if you're speaking, it's because God has, speak as if you are speaking for God. That's a serious thing, right? Use God's word. That's a good way to do that. If you're serving, rely on the strength that God will supply. Don't rely on your own strength. And don't claim that your own strength is why you've been able to serve. Peter's saying that the ultimate purpose for our gifts is that God will get the glory. And he writes that, right? In order, do these things, serve, use them, take responsibility for them, in order that in everything God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. This is our ultimate purpose. Dan and Rachel, I'm so thankful for their heart and for their attitude in ministry. And they are great people. And it is easy for us, and I think it is right for us, to let them know how proud we are of them and how thankful we are for their ministry. But ultimately, they are pointing us to God by helping us with this verse and even just by how they go about their lives and just saying God is the one who's supplying the strength. And what a blessing that is. And that's how we are to be using our gifts here, is saying, Lord, it's because of you. It's because of the strength you've provided. It's because of the words you've given that I can do any of this. Thank you. To him be glory. You know, many of us might have an heirloom in our house that we now have the responsibility to take care of. But let's not forget that as we are heirs with Christ, we have been given a big responsibility to use the gift that God has given you. And let me encourage you. Don't be discouraged. Let me encourage you that if you don't know what that is, the best way to find out is just to start serving here with everyone else. Put others first. And as we do that, this church will glorify God in this community. And we'll be able to see what God has done as we look back over the years and say, wow, glory be to God. He's used us in ways we never even thought possible to reach our community. Let that be our prayer. Would you pray with me? Before I pray, I just want to encourage you that if there is, if the Lord's speaking to you, or if there is an opportunity of service that you might already be thinking about, let me encourage you to follow through on that. Do business with God. And if you need to, write your prayer request or your need down on one of the communication cards there in the pew, and we'll be able to collect that in the offering in just a few minutes. But as I pray, just ask the Lord to show you where you may be able to serve if you're not. And if you are, ask the Lord to strengthen you and ask the Lord to keep you humble as we give him glory for those things. Father, we thank you for these gifts that you have given to us. Lord, help us to take them seriously. Help us to use them effectively to serve others here in this church. Lord, give us the ability to identify how you would use us, what our gifts may be. And Lord, I pray that this church would be a beacon of light in this community as we as a people are using our gifts to serve others. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.